This is Britt B. Steele, and this audio recording is a cleanse for your kitchen. In this class, I'll be guiding you through an in-depth look at what is working and what is not working for your kitchen's health as it is today. And I'll help you transform your kitchen into a palette for creating the most healthy and nourishing meals possible. I know that being successful and making a difference is important to you. I know you try to eat healthy, that you try not to skip meals, and you try to drink enough water. I also know that there's more to taking care of yourself than dealing with these details. So this got me thinking, what is the foundation of being healthy, of eating healthy, and of feeding your family healthy and delicious food? Ultimately, it's a healthy kitchen. So every once in a while, just like I offer a cleanse up to myself to clean out my body, I put my kitchen on a cleanse. And this audio is a step-by-step guide for you to give your kitchen a cleanse of its lifetime. I encourage you to print this workbook and to follow along with this audio as a starting point so you can take some notes, familiarize yourself with where we are and where we're headed, and then you'll be best prepared for when you actually enter into your kitchen cleanse. So let's get started. There are five topics we'll be covering: tools and utensils, food storage, food preparation, food, and place and space. We'll start with tools and utensils. For tools and utensils, I first look at what are my tools and utensils made of. I look for wood, stainless steel, and then I move to glass, cast iron, copper, stoneware, ceramic, and non-chip enamel. For my pots and pans, I like stainless steel with copper inlaid bottom or stainless steel in general. I avoid aluminum, and I avoid non-stick or Teflon surfaces, and I avoid plastic. Cast iron is one of my favorites, and it can be seasoned and very effective in non-stick food preparation once you've learned how to season, use, clean, and condition your cast iron pots and pans. They are very forgiving, and they're very resilient. A quick story about that. When I first cleaned my kitchen very well in this way about 10 years ago, I was still holding on to a couple of my little nonstick pans, and I wasn't quite ready to donate them, so I put them in a box and they ended up in the shed. And I'm going to guess maybe 5 or 6 times I would go down and outside and I'd go to that shed anytime I wanted to make eggs because I didn't know how to make eggs well in my cast iron skillet. Well, come to find out, it wasn't about me preparing the eggs that was the problem. It was really about me preparing the cast iron. So in that way, if you have well seasoned and conditioned cast iron, you will find that they are very nonstick. And we'll speak about this a bit later, how you can get information on how to do that. So back to tools and utensils. I also look at my cutting boards. I like to have 3 separate boards, all of which are non-porous and non-cracked wood as ideal. In 2014, there was a research study noted by Berkeley that suggested that non-cracked, non-porous wood was more effective at keeping bacteria at bay for preparing meats than a plastic cutting board. So these 3 cutting boards that I like are all wooden. One I use exclusively for fruits and vegetables. One I use for onions and garlic. And one I designate specifically for meat products. I like to separate the fruits and the vegetables from the onion and the garlic because there's nothing worse than cutting an orange and having it taste like garlic, or cutting an apple and having it taste like onion. So I like to keep those 3 separate. The key with your cutting boards and keeping them healthy is ensuring that they're well cleaned, particularly that designated meat board, and that you allow it to stand and dry freely, and it's not laid down or it's not placed between two other items where it doesn't have good air circulation where bacteria might harbor. My utensils, speaking of utensils, I have a canister to the right of my stove. I'm right-handed, and it holds my favorite and most frequently used utensils. In there, all of my utensils are made of two things, stainless steel and wood. I then have an overflow drawer on the right side of my stove that holds my cooking utensils that I might not use as frequently or are not my first go-to. And then to the left of my stove, in the drawer, I have my hot pads and all of my baking cups and measuring cups. Again, nothing plastic, only stainless steel, glass or Pyrex, and ceramic. So your job here is to find a canister or to go through your canister and remove anything that's plastic or old or broken or chipped. And then you go to your overflow drawer and do the same. And you get rid of anything that's broken or sticky or cracked or has a flaw in it that comes in contact with your food. Those plastic flippers or spatulas are notorious for melting into our food when left in a hot pan or slowly disintegrating or degrading, and then they become a porous harbor for bacteria, and then at worst, they are slowly consumed with our food in very indistinguishable quantities. So pull out anything that you don't use or haven't used in 5 years or is made of questionable materials and place it in a designated location in your kitchen. Push it out of the way. So we'll move on into food storage and food preparation. Your job, we'll start with your job. You will identify, if you can, the southeast corner of your kitchen, and you'll start at the very bottom cabinet in the southeast corner of your kitchen. You're going to move clockwise and go around your kitchen from the lower cabinets, then up to the drawers, then onto your counters, and then into your upper cabinets. Pull everything out one cabinet at a time and only put back what you know you want to keep, keeping in mind the materials that they're made of and how frequently you use them. Set aside any old water bottles, yogurt containers, outdated aluminum bottles, leaky water bottles, cracked travel coffee mugs, and any old dingy Rubbermaid or Tupper-made containers, especially those that have little peeling or flaws due to overheating or microwave damage. Pull all of that out and put that in the designated area with the utensils that you've decided you're not going to be placing back in your canister or your overflow drawer. In regards to your food preparation, you'll be doing the same thing. You'll consider pulling out all those nonstick coated pots and pans. And if that gives you anxiety, then I encourage you at the very least to pull out any items that show even the tiniest amount of damage. This isn't designed to create anxiety or to cost you thousands of dollars in replacing everything in your kitchen. You can take this in baby steps, just knowing the direction you want to be headed and taking little steps to move in that direction is a huge step all its own. You may also consider getting rid of all aluminum baking and cooking pots and pans that are in direct contact with food. An aluminum muffin tin, for example, where your muffins may be made in papers, would be much more acceptable than an aluminum bread pan where your bread is in direct contact with your bread, with your pan. Aluminum has some controversial health effects that simply aren't worth the worry when there are so many other options that we know for sure do not cause such health concerns. Items I like to have for food storage and preparation include things like natural cellulose bags, which you can order online, glass containers with sealable lids, and stainless steel tuffins. I also like fabric veggie storage bags and a nice variety of sizes of mason jars. So any way that you can replace plastic with glass or stainless steel, I suggest doing so. We know there are health risks associated with plastic, and we know it leaches into the foods it holds. We also know that glass and stainless steel do not leach in this way or off-gas in this way. So once you've gone through your entire cabinetry of utensils, food storage, and preparation, your pots and pans, etc., then you will have very pristine cabinets, and they might look a little bit sparse, but you'll have a very clean palette from which to work. Now the tough part. You're going to have a hefty pile of stuff that has just come out of your cabinets and drawers that you need to figure out what to do with. So here's your job with this. You have three containers. You have a donation box, you have a storage box, and you have a trash receptacle. First thing is pretty easy. Determine what's obvious trash. Old plastic forks, broken water bottles, lidless coffee mugs, all that stuff goes in the trash. And then determine what you know you do not want and you will not use, and then this goes into donation. My guess is you'll probably still have a pile, and that if you're nervous or uncertain about getting rid of some things that you really like to use but you're not sure about, I'd say pull out those few things that make you the most nervous and add them back into your cabinets, and then put everything else piece by piece into your box that is marked storage and make a list of those items. Everything's in the box, put your list on top, and then go ahead and put that box, close it on up, and put it out in the garage or the storage shed. If you don't use it in a year, then you know you can probably go back through it and you'll be much more comfortable sending stuff to the donation center at that time. So now we'll talk about food itself. Just like you went through your storage and preparation cabinets, now it's time for you to go through your non-perishable food storage. I'd suggest you pull out anything that's expired or more than 3 years old from your non-perishables. And with dried herbs, I'd recommend tossing anything that's older than about 9 months old. If you have older foods that are not expired and you're only keeping them so that you're not being wasteful, which is noble, I would instead encourage you to box those things up separately and bring them to your local shelter to be used there. Maybe they'll get used, maybe they won't. But if they sit in your cabinet and expire, then you won't have the chance for them to be useful and they'll end up being tossed in the end anyway. So the shelter before they're expired might be the best option for them being useful. A little about the herbs. I said tossing old herbs that are more than 9 months old. Herbs lose their color and their impact and their vitality when they get old. And herbs should be kept in a cool, dry, dark location without direct exposure to sunlight. And I'll give you one little cooking tangent here. One of my favorite kitchen additions is a pestle and mortar. I always like to awaken my herbs, even the ones that are already powdered. I place my herbs for my recipe together in my pestle and mortar, and I just awaken them by applying a little bit of pressure and lightly grinding, and you'll know immediately the power of this practice, for the aroma and the color and even the flavor of the herbs just comes bursting forth. So now on to your refrigerator and your freezer. Pretty self-explanatory. Same principles will apply. You throw away anything that's expired or more than 3 months old from the fridge and anything that's over a year old from the freezer. I know this might feel wasteful, and I hate to waste food, but so is your life force of great value. And your life force is being wasted if you are not feeding your body live and nourishing foods. The wasted food products are far less of a loss than your own body's vital force. And now for the fifth category of place and space. We talked about the southeast corner. The southeast corner is the corner that is associated with ether or with space, from which all things come, vibration and space, and to which all things return. So this southeast corner is always a great place to begin, and it is also a great place to offer reverence and to recognize the mystery. In the southeast corner of my kitchen, I have a tiny little altar. I have a little vase that holds a single fresh flower. I have a candle, and I have a little dish that I offer prasad, or in yoga, this blessed food when I prepare food. What this does for me, having this little altar, and what it can do for you is to remind you of the power of life force in all of your food. The tiny little candle can remind you of the power of digestion and nourishment and the power that food has to transform our bodies, our minds, and our lives. When you're preparing your food, there is a vibration to be considered. We want our food to be live and fresh and colorful. We also want those same things to be present in our own life. The way we do it when we're preparing food is being cognizant of the music that we're listening to, so it's not overly stimulating, or the lyrics are not mundane and worthless to us somehow, but instead music is vibrationally sound. We're not listening to talk radio. We're certainly not watching TV in a perfect world. And we're managing our mood as well. If our mood goes sour, if a phone call comes in that takes us on a tangent that's away from the nourishment that we want to bring into our bodies and into the bodies of the people that we're feeding, then I encourage you to step outside of the kitchen. Take the time you need to reground, to refocus, to recognize the sacredness that's available in your food and in your food preparation, and then go back into the kitchen. Do everything you can to raise the vibrational experience of preparing food, for at the end of the day, everything comes from vibration and returns to vibration. So a quick review. The materials of which the items in your kitchen are made are very important. Stick with what's natural. Stainless steel, cast iron, glass, silicon. Avoid plastics, nonstick and Teflon, and aluminum. Recognize that your dried, your refrigerated, and your frozen foods are all life force carriers. Or not. Get rid of the old stuff and bring in the new stuff, the stuff that is rich with life force and vitality, bit by bit. Your kitchen is a very important place. It is integral to the health of your body, your life, and your mind. Our bodies are made up of the food that we eat, and whatever the quality of food and experience we bring into our bodies, so too will be the quality of whatever it is we put out in the world. Eat well, live well, be well. Thank you for sharing part of your day with me. Take good care. Om.